All four Gospels begin Jesus' mission, his adult mission, by having John the Baptist introduce him. All four Gospels. We don't know a lot about Jesus' life between about the ages of 12 to about 30. And then we have John the Baptist come forward. He's known as the precursor of the Saviour of the world. And John announces that Jesus is coming. And in Matthew, Mark and Luke's versions, they are quite similar. But if you read very carefully, the text is a little different. In today's gospel, we hear the heavens torn apart. Not the heavens opened, they were torn apart. And then we hear, "You are my son, the beloved. My favour rests on you." So the words that are spoken directly to Jesus. So at this point, for Mark's audience, they will have identified Jesus and his relationship with God as Father very clearly. In Matthew's version, it says, "My favour rests with him." So the address from the heavens is actually addressed to the people. There's a different emphasis. So for Mark, he doesn't tell us a lot of information, and the audience are the ones who fill in the gaps. Now, in literature, particularly biblical literature, there is two kinds of literature. One is called high context literature, and one is called low context literature. I'm not going to give you a lecture on literature, that's for sure. But high context literature, you get the absolute minimum of information, and then the audience fills in the gaps, or the reader fills in the gaps. That's what you've got with Mark. So a lot of presumption there of background knowledge. With low context literature, they are more intricate documents where you have a lot of detail. They particularly lend themselves to legal documents, things like legal arrangements and mortgages and loans and all that really fine print that you always tick the box saying that you agree and you've read, but you never do. Like me, we just agree, but we never read. That's low context literature. So Mark has lots and lots of gaps in it, if you like. He doesn't give us a lot of detail. So partly it's because of the presumption that the audience knows a lot of this already, and he just gives the essence. And that might be true, and it's certainly the way that scholars have interpreted the way that Mark has put his gospel together. So we come forward into our life now, and as we reflect on the gospel, and clearly the theme is baptism and Jesus' baptism. And some of us will be saying, yeah, it always follows the Feast of the Holy Family, it comes after Christmas, it's the end of Christmastide today, and now we move into ordinary time, everything changes to green. If that's how we roll on when we come into the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, then clearly the waters of baptism in our own life, I think, have probably run very, very still, if not stagnant. I can't say that they're stagnant because you're actually here. If they were completely stagnant, which is where things die, you wouldn't be here, but you are. So there is life in your baptismal self. In the waters that flowed over you, there is life. And we have this feast at this time at the beginning of the year to stir up those waters and help generate life. So we look at Jesus' baptism, and some of you, if you have an inquiring mind, you might, like myself, say, why did Jesus need to be baptised? He was without sin. That's been a given. So why did he have to be baptised? We either get baptised as adults or as infants. We as adults who got baptised or who are contemplating baptism, we do that because we have come to some personal commitment where we have actually encountered Jesus on the journey of faith in our life as an adult. It's very grown-up language. But that's what's happened, and we choose to honour that commitment and make it real in our life. That's adult baptism. For those who were baptised as children, they were baptised firstly because of the love of their parents, we ask the parents, what do you ask of the church for your child? And the answer is baptism. We are asking to have our child baptized and brought into the life of the church. So that's the first thing with infant baptism. The second thing with infant baptism, it allows the community to welcome the infant into the church community. We also do that very powerfully with adult baptism. There's no doubt about that. But more, it's a better celebration of the sacrament when it is done within the context of Mass in the wider community. Or if you have a large crowd with your baptism, baptism is much more, I was going to say realistic, but it's not more realistic. It's easier to get a grasp of the sacrament, because it is bringing someone, this innocent child, into the beauty and the grace that evolves and is created in the church itself. An adult has come to that understanding. Children are given that gift, and it is our task and the parents' task to help nurture that gift. So why did Jesus, he was an adult, why did he do that if he had no sin? We have sin, and therefore we are like fish that have been put into a dirty water. And baptism washes that away so that we can survive as healthy fish, if you like. If we didn't do that, we would be trying to survive. We need to thrive. We would be trying to survive. And our baptism gives us the grace to thrive and survive the challenges in the world, our dirty water world at times. Jesus was born without sin. So firstly, the reason that he was baptized was he gave us the sacrament. It is the first sacrament of the church, and everything that is connected to, everything that happens in the church is connected to baptism. Even a funeral, whether it's a mass or not, the baptismal, the Easter candle that is used at baptism is moved to the head of the coffin as a symbol of escorting this person of faith from this life to eternity. The baptismal candle is lit off the Easter candle. Everything we do is connected to baptism. So that's the first thing. Jesus highlights for us the importance of this stage in our life. So for you who might be wondering whether you're stagnant or flowing water at the moment, try to connect back with why were you baptised, or why did you choose to be baptised? Because the next part of the outcome of that will be, what am I doing with it? Jesus was doing what John asked. It also made a public statement where he consolidated the adult relationship with God as Father, whom he called Abba. And the evidence is there that Jesus called Abba, which really means in our language, Daddy. He called Joseph Daddy, and now he is calling his Father in heaven, Abba, Daddy. It's very, very intimate. So Jesus draws us into that intimate relationship. That's the other reason why he needed to be baptized, to draw us in. It's not something that we hear about. It's something that actually happened physically, and there were those present who witnessed it. Witnessed, if you like, the consolidation of the relationship between Jesus and God the Father. The third reason that Jesus was baptized is because it was a prelude, if you like, to what was going to happen at Easter. And so the waters of baptism also are an example, if you like, that lead us into Jesus' death. We are plunged three times. The word baptism means immersed, not just we get like a little bit poured on us mostly. Some people are fully immersed, and that's much more realistic expression of what baptism is. It has some challenges, I can tell you, but it is much more, it's a much more physical and explanatory thing. But when Jesus is immersed three times into the water, as we do in baptism, it represents his death and his descent to the realm of the dead. And then he comes up, and we come up if we were fully immersed, and we'd be going and drawing in the breath. It is also a recreation of creation, the story from Genesis, where the waters of chaos were stirred up, and out of that came all of creation, all of the beauty of the world and the beauty of the people in the world. So baptism, it represents his death. It is also a foretaste, if you like, to what's coming, his resurrection, and that is the rising forward, the coming up out of the waters. Now, in the second reading, you heard John also talk about the three witnesses, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And of course, that plugs straight into the fact that when Jesus was on the cross, water and blood flowed from his side. The two are brought together. And you often hear me explain in children's masses, as I pour that little drop of water into the chalice, may the mingling of this water and wine mingle in our lives the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Wine is humanity, water is divinity. The two come together. Everything flows back to the waters of baptism. So there are three of the main reasons why Jesus was baptized. He gives us the sacrament. He gives us the example and the demonstration of his intimate love with God the Father, which we are to follow. And thirdly, he gives us a foretaste, if you like, of the miracle of Easter, the salvation event of Easter. It's all in baptism, in the ceremony. Baptism has in it lots of elements, lots of things that we use, oil and water and white robes and candles and godparents, much more so than many of the other sacraments. So it has instruments to help draw us in and help us explain. And I nearly always explain to people what all those elements are. I won't do that this evening, but baptism is an event that is ongoing. It is, as I keep referring to, the waters keep flowing in our life. If we don't allow that to happen, then we too become stagnant. And that's not a good place to be. For people of faith, our faith draws us closer to God, firstly, and then it, because of that, it draws other people to God. For the third week in a row, you'll hear me say, we want people to say, I want what they've got. That's what we want. If they see us as sad, miserable, cranky Catholics, why would anybody want that? If they see us as joyful, energetic, creative, welcoming Catholic Christians, people would say, that's what I want, that's who I want to be. That is the flowing water of baptism. Let me conclude with the ending of the first reading. It's very beautiful, and most of Mark's text is based on the words from Isaiah. But this is the first part of what you heard this evening. And I would really love for you to reflect on that in terms of what are you doing with your baptismal life. I have to do that at the end of every day as I have an examine. What did I do today that brought somebody closer to God? Did I do anything that achieved that at all? Sometimes it seems like a complete desert, and other times it's truly miraculous. Oh, come to the water, all you who are thirsty. Though you have no money, come. Buy corn without money and eat, and at no cost, wine and milk. Why spend money on what is not bread? Your wages on that fails to satisfy. Listen, listen to me, and you will have good things to eat. You will have rich food to enjoy. Pay attention to me. Listen, and your soul will live.